Welcome to I Feel Your Pain, where stories of loss meet sacred solidarity. A space for storytelling, testimony, lament, and healing. My name is Tina Norbury, a communication strategist by training, a grief navigator by lived experience. You find yourself here today because your pain has a name, a date, a memory that weighs more than you can handle alone. For me, it is the 2nd of August. Today's episode is Womb Darkness, Miscarriages, and a Fall of Grace. Today, my daughter is 18. The house is filled with the smell of birthday cake. There are wrapped gifts on the table. Her smile glows with effortless warmth, softening the hearts in an instant. Every curve of that smile reflects her honest soul, that is open, unguarded, and true. There is no pretense in her. Sincerity lives in her laughter, her words, and her very presence. Her laughter echoes, filling the air with joy that is pure and unshaken. It is her beautiful, whole, complete picture of kindness, light, and a soul that makes everything around her feel brighter. But 18 years ago, and even 14 years ago, I could not have imagined this wholeness. My story of becoming her mother began in silence and grief. A.W. Tozer wrote extensively about the darkness of the womb, not the tomb. The womb darkness symbolizing a hopeful transition into a new beginning, which is birth. And the tomb darkness symbolizing the state of irreversible ending, which is death. In my case, I found that the darkness of the womb became the darkness of the tomb at some point in my life. As a woman, your body tells you that you are pregnant long before a positive pregnancy test confirms it. Even before your child takes their first breath, your bond with your baby begins quietly, like a thread of light weaving itself into your being. At first, it is a whisper of awareness, an instinct that life is stirring within you. You find yourself resting your hand on your belly without even thinking. It is as if you are reaching across a veil to reassure both yourself and the tiny soul growing inside you. Your emotions shift drastically. Joy, awe, and fierce protectiveness bloom almost at once. You imagine the curve of a smile you have not seen, the sound of a laugh you have not heard yet. Each flutter, each subtle change deepens the connection with your body becoming both home and sanctuary for your little one. It is a bond not born of sight or touch, but of presence. And knowing that a child and a mother already belong to one another. By the time the first heartbeat echoes, you feel it as your own. This is the miracle of motherhood. It is a bond that begins unseen. It grows within every moment and is as unbreakable before birth as it is after. In the ultrasound room, the cold ultrasound gel, the soft light that creates a sense of calm, the frantic search of the sonographer's face for a flicker of a heartbeat that isn't there anymore, the devastating silence, the phrase, there is no cardiac activity. Then the wiping of the ultrasound gel with a disposable paper with tears streaming down your cheeks. You now begin the unique isolation of your loss. I say unique because a miscarriage is grief for a person you only knew. You're the only person who knew this person, this being in you. The feeling of that body that feels like it has failed you. The emptiness that follows is indescribable. If this is not your first time having a miscarriage, it is now not just new grief, but it reopens the wounds of the previous ones. I had three miscarriages, one of which was an ectopic pregnancy, a pregnancy that ruptured my fallopian tube. This journey felt like a pattern of hope and despair. Very, very dark and difficult journey. I was advised to stop trying for a baby for a little while, just to enable my body to recover from all the miscarriages it had gone through, which was fair enough because it's quite traumatic to your body, to anyone's body, rather. But her pregnancy was just a miracle because despite all the anxiety before and during every checkup, there were no issues throughout the pregnancy. To top it all up, the relief of a healthy, natural birth was just the bright light after so much darkness that I had gone through. Let's fast forward to when she was 4.5 years old. It was a bright sunny day. I was attending a business meeting in a city two hours drive away. She was visiting her cousins for that weekend. In that meeting, the phone kept on ringing. Usually when I'm in a meeting, I don't answer phone calls. But I felt it in my spirit that there was something that wasn't right. What did I do? I just excused myself to take the call. There's that natural instinct where you know when there's something wrong with your children or when there's something wrong at all. It was just so difficult. When I heard that somber voice on the other end, she has fallen out of the window of her cousin's room. The paramedics are here and we're taking her to the hospital. Then the silence that followed. This silence was more terrifying than any I had known or experienced in the ultrasound room. Knowing very well the distance that this Victorian house second floor to the ground was, I worked out that my child was dead. Or maybe if she wasn't, and this is a maybe, she will be confined to a wheelchair for the rest of her life. How could her small body survive that fall from that height, hitting a place that is half concrete and half gravel? No way. I was momentarily gripped by fear that the light I was given was being taken away or might have just been taken away. I rang one of my friends who is a prayer warrior. I told her what had happened and I just said, cover me with prayer. It was just so difficult to think, why is this happening to me? But just before I started driving, I just remembered that she has a middle name. And her middle name is Sibongi Nkosi. Sibongi Nkosi is a Ndebele name, which means, we thank you, Lord. This is a name that is an expression of deep gratitude. And for me, I remembered that God, before I gave birth to this child, I said, I will thank you, Lord. And today, I will thank you for her life. I'm told by my friend that all the other prayer warriors in our circle, she rang just as she told them what happened. They would all burst into tongues. Just at the thought of thinking the journey I had gone through, miscarriages, and now that this child might be gone. It was a difficult drive, but God saw me through. That day, Psalm 91, verse 11 to 12, took on a whole new meaning in my life and up to today. It says, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Believe it or not, when I got to that hospital, my child was sitting on the bed and she stared straight to my eyes and said, Mommy, the angel saved me. Believe it or not, there was no bruise, no broken bone, no swelling, even after a couple of thorough full body scans. The doctors said they couldn't make out how she survived it. One of them even said it was a miracle. They said it was a miracle. It was just unbelievable that this happened. I had an overwhelming kaleidoscope of emotions. I mean, knee-buckling relief. Tears of joy, excitement, confusion, anxiety, all at the same time. In that moment of almost loss, I was given my child back again. That evening, lying next to her at home, I realized something. That the paralyzing fear I felt in that moment was a mirror of the grief I had felt before. But this time, the outcome was grace. Her fall was traumatic, but it became a sacred reminder. It was a brutal and painful sign shouting at me, do not take this gift for granted. She is a miracle. Her life is grace embodied. It didn't erase the pain of losing the other babies. But it reframed the incredible gift of the child I held. The scripture we have for today is Psalm 139, starting from verse 12 to 16. It talks about darkness and being knitted by God and not being hidden from Him. This scripture often is quoted in celebrating life, and it is. But for those of us who have gone through miscarriages or have had miscarriages, it also validates the personhood of our babies. They were not potential life. They were known and knitted by God. It doesn't matter how many days, as few as they were in our wombs, they were seen by God. They existed in the secret place of His love, even when they didn't see the light on earth. This obviously does not answer why it happened, but for me, it reaffirms the whole. They were His children. For my daughter, this psalm takes on a new layer. The days ordained for her included the terrifying fall and the grace of God. It reminds me that her life and the lives of my other babies in heaven are held securely in a story bigger than my understanding. Also, that verse 12, for me, it means that grief was not hidden. All the grief I've gone through with the miscarriages was not hidden. God was there in the silence, weaving a story I could not see yet. In solidarity today, if you are listening and your story holds both profound loss and profound gift after miscarriage, or maybe miscarriages, I say to you, it is okay to face both. You can grieve the children you lost, but at the same time, be fiercely grateful for the children you hold. This doesn't make you weird or crazy. It makes you human. For me, I have found that gratitude helps. And I will give you a practical gratitude tip that I gained throughout my journey. I'll say, in the face of fear, like the fear of a child's accident, just practice active gratitude. When you get thoughts of what if, because they do come, consciously replace them with what is. In this case, for me, what is that she is safe right now. And what is that she is here with me. What is also the sound of her breath, just breathing to show she's alive. As we close, I leave you with three things. One, listen deeply to your pain. It is a language God understands. Number two, lead clearly through your grief, because your scars light paths for others. Number three, communicate with care, especially to the hurting soul in your mirror. Until next time, your pain is safe here.